like for us tonight to turn in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. No. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. I will say this about LaRue. She called me earlier after she found out about the report from the doctor, and she was very distressed. She's been going to the doctor regularly over the years and having tests done, and I could tell she was having a little difficulty understanding why they hadn't found this some time ago. So please pray. We will be praying, no doubt, tonight about this. I'd like to read from Matthew 3:13 and then go into the fourth chapter, beginning at the 13th verse of chapter 3. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And let's look to the Lord again in just a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence this evening. We're gathered together in the name and to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful Savior. And what we have to say this evening from the Scripture and what we shall think upon, grant, we pray thee, that it shall indeed exalt the person of Christ, our blessed, holy Savior. We thank thee for the accounts in Scripture that remind us of all of the things that transpired in his life that are recorded in Scripture. They are a blessing to our souls, and they help us along this pilgrim pathway. Do receive our thanks in the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Some Scripture has come to mind when I was thinking about this passage, and it's one that we read and hear about quite frequently. Hebrews 5:8 reminds us, although he was a son, the only begotten Son of God. He learned obedience through what he suffered. I've got some other scripture I want to read, and then I want to make a comment concerning that. In the second chapter, in the 10th verse, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. And then we couldn't help but remember Hebrews 4:15, in every respect he has been tempted, tested, as we are, yet without sin. And we know you can't tempt God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was not for one moment tempted by anything that the God of this world had to say. I think we can say unequivocally, it presented to the heart of the Son of God something that was truly repulsive to even think about. Very idea. Of course, Satan has proved that he is limited in his whole understanding of what God has done and is doing. He's a defeated foe. And I can understand why he would lash out and why he would go about as a roaring lion, seeing whom he might devour. He's out for revenge. He would like to do all that he could to cast some disrespect upon what God is doing, has done, and will do. Peter says in the second chapter, the 22nd verse, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. You know, the whole thrust of this passage points out to us that the Lord Jesus Christ never acted independent or contrary to the will of his Father. And he counted it a joyous experience to do the Father's will. And you know, what does that all mean to us? If here we have an example of what is honoring to the Lord, it causes us to be very careful. No, we need the Word. The Word is the source. I know, part of my own prayer life, and Ruby and I pray together, to be controlled and led by the Spirit of God according to the truth that's found in the book. Man, that's all important. Not going contrary in any way to the revealed will of God in his Word. Our Lord gives us a perfect example. You sometimes are amused when you hear someone cite what is happening in their life, wanting answers to questions that have come up in their lives, and they want to take a step that's contrary to what is clearly revealed in the Word of God. And you have to say, well, you can't do that. You can't do that and honor God, because it's contrary to God's will and God's way. Our Lord never acted contrary to the will of God. He fulfilled perfectly, under testing all that divine righteousness demanded of one who could and would and has, incidentally, provided salvation for poor lost sinners. He's the only one that could fulfill, of course, will perfectly that God had for him. He was the only one that could do it. He being God's only begotten Son. The very fact that right after this baptism, these statements inspire you to want to really, like a black lady that's up at my house this week, and she was praising the Lord. I almost got carried away there one time myself. She was doing a little dance, and I tell you, it caught on. I caught the spirit of that thing. She was happy in the Lord. And sometimes there's passages of Scripture that do that for you. You just get happy in your soul. When the heavens were opened unto him, they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, the hymns, the music that we sing here, we're well pleased with him. He's great. He's wonderful. He's wonderful, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that we have this account of his encounter with Satan. You know, I've often wondered, this is just speculation, what Satan feels after one of these encounters like he had with the Lord, and he was completely defeated. He is a defeated foe. But you have to say something for him. He is determined. There seems to be something that he possesses as that evil being that he is. He's not easily discouraged. You resist him and he will flee from you, but he'll come back. He'll be back. So there are some things that you might say, you know, there's some very admirable things that you can say about Satan, but I really can't say anything nice about him. He's a defeated foe. He is the enemy of God and of man. But he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And here he is after this experience of a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Spirit of God takes him and leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We know the outcome, and the outcome was already known. When you think about it, you say, "I know my Lord's going to win. I know who's going to be the victor in this whole discussion. All that will transpire there, the Lord Jesus Christ will still be the blessed Holy Son of God, and there is no possibility that he can be tempted to respond to any of the overtures of Satan. You know, some suggest that when you take and compare Adam and Eve in the garden, that first Adam, Paul talks about this in the 5th chapter of Romans, but you have Adam, of course. You know, I like to say it sometimes, he had it all. He was the Lord over all that God had created. Man, what do you want? Well, Satan was there too. He knew how to spoil the whole scene. And I know he must have crowed real loud that day. Boy, I fixed that. I don't know if we'll ever know what it would have been like if Adam had remained true and had conformed to the, you know, in an act of obedience to exactly what God wanted him to do in the garden. I don't know. But through his wife, she acted independent of her husband. He was the head. And as a result of all that, there was a fall. And, of course, we've been in trouble ever since. Thank God the Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We were lost. As Gentiles, we were in the world without any hope. And he came. And he saved us. Thank God for the Lord Jesus. That second verse says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was afterward and hungered. You say, I don't see how he could have humanly survived for 40 days without bread. I know that what we have in the Word of God sometimes needs explaining. But you know, God can do anything. Some animals are sustained through a whole winter as they hibernate, and they don't have any food at all. I don't know. But he went through 40 days of fasting. We were talking about fasting Sunday night, you know. Some people think it's just because you eat too much. But oh my, that just barely touches what fasting is all about. Fasting is something that if you really want to get involved in fasting, perhaps through prayer and fasting we could regain some of the power that's been lost, because we tend to be so careless sometimes in the way we conduct ourselves. We can have it, and so we have it. And that's just the way it is. And we make no apologies for it. I have the means to do it, I'll do it. That's the way it is. Well, our Lord, in complete obedience to all that God had planned for him, he did. That was an experience of suffering. He did suffer. And I think right at that point is when Satan says, I've got an advantage here. Ha! Anybody that's been without bread, a human being that's been without bread for 40 days, he'll be very vulnerable. He'll be very vulnerable. So he comes and he makes a suggestion. He said, command these stones to be made bread. Sounds reasonable. Not everybody could do that. The Son of God could. He could have changed those stones into some mighty, delicious tasting bread. You see, that was that first effort for him to present unbelief, mistrust in God's care for him as the Son of God while he's here in a human body. Now, brethren, sisters, he was human. He was human. I heard a man say not long ago, he's talking about this fellow and how he looks at life and how he behaves, and he's negative. Sometimes people do things and he has no sympathy with them whatsoever. And they were talking to this old guy, and this old guy said, well, he just forgot he's human. That's all. He just forgot he was human. You know, boasting like that makes me shiver, because I've seen some people boast and say things like that, and later it was embarrassing. But he thought he'd get somewhere with the Lord Jesus, but he didn't. Our Lord was there to obey the will of the Father that sent him, and nothing could deter him from taking that course. Note that word "if." It comes up again. It's used quite frequently. It suggests uncertainty. If you really are the Son of God, won't be any problem for you. You're not being presumptuous if you want to really have it go on the record that you can change stones into loaves. Man, he didn't know what he's talking about. He can take a little boy's lunch and a few little bits of bread and a few little minnows and feed 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 if they were there. You see, sometimes it is revealed that Satan, I don't know if by now he's really got it or not, but when his encounters with the Lord Jesus, he had a whole lot that he didn't understand about the Son of God. Our Lord answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, he will not doubt what God has already said. What if bread was lacking? Well, God didn't want him to have any bread at that time. And he wasn't going to presume and say, well, it must be all right. I've endured this experience, and now I'll have some bread. Oh, no. What he will do is at God's bidding and in God's time. See, that becomes all important. Sometimes we begin to rationalize what we can do and how we can do it. And sometimes we don't check the book to find out, hey, is this cutting across anything that he would have us to do? And we find out we've gone astray. So don't doubt God. He could have sustained the children of Israel for 40 years through the wilderness without any manna if he wanted to. I mean, let's get with it. Don't doubt what God can do. Don't doubt God. And be submissive to the mind and will of God. The devil takes him up into a holy city, up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and then he makes this suggestion, cast yourself down. You're the Son of God. I mean, you can perform things that are so spectacular that, man, people will begin to think you really are somebody. You're from outer space. You have power. And even the angels are right there to care for you. They're not going to let anything happen to you. Begins to quote scripture. Here he begins to rely upon scripture. The Lord has used scripture. He's going to use a little scripture. You know, he's clever. He's so clever. But he's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he's not out to honor God, but for himself, because of his pride, he desires attention himself. You think because Satan would even suggest that there was security there, nothing will happen, that now he's going to say, well, he at least knows that I know that there wouldn't be anything happening. You know, presuming, just presuming upon the promises that are made, that can sometimes be a common temptation in Scripture. I'm going to try it. I'm going to pick up that rattlesnake by the tail. You pick him up if you want to. I'm not going to pick him up. You say, well, you don't have faith. Others drink poison. All kinds of things are done. And sometimes it doesn't involve snakes and poison, but a thousand other things that people say, well, I've done it before, and God didn't do anything about it. I'm going to do it again. He's blessed me. I tell you, we pay a price when we begin to look at what God, 7:30. We're going to 8:30 tonight? No, just 8 o'clock. Then he takes him and, again, the Lord says, you're not to tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You know, it looks like he was trying to incite in the heart of the Son of God some ambition. That's ludicrous to even suggest that the Son of God wants to be is ambitious. What does he want? What does he need? This is the Son of God. Revelation, at least, of how his temptation, these blasphemous offers that he's making to the Lord Jesus Christ, we look at them, we smile and shake our head and say, you just don't know who you're dealing with. There was really no vulnerable part of our Redeemer. There was no place for that in his whole life. And so, like the others, they fall upon the ground. He is defeated again. Finally, says the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. He offers him, of course, the whole organized system of worlds, countries, everything you can think of. He offered that to him if he'd do one thing, and that would again was again something so strange for him to even attempt to worship him. And after that, the angels came and ministered unto him. After the devil, then comes the angels. You know, there, when he was on the cross, 12 legions of angels were poised. There must have been angels there then, and they were just waiting till this experience was over, and then they came. It's wonderful to go through an experience, and we like to have these kind of experiences, and starts out early in life. I passed the test. What'd you get? I got an A. I like that. We like for that to happen because we've put forth the effort, we have obeyed, we have followed the rules. There was temptation or testing. Satan has failed. You know, when our Lord was teaching his disciples how to pray, lead us not into temptation. I don't pray for temptation. I have heard people say, I want to be tested. I want to be tempted. I don't. Say, you're a coward. Okay, I'm a coward. I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to be put in that position. I'm not going to invite that. I may, and you may be being presumptuous to even say you would like to do that. But we pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is what? The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, those are just some thoughts about the Lord Jesus and his encounter with Satan. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee this evening in this prayer meeting, we desire the leading of the Spirit of God, his filling and the kind of enlightenment that he provides and the wonderful sense of his presence with us, leading us. There are names that are going to be brought before us. We're praying for many of your dear blood-bought children. We are encouraged to pray for one another. It's the proof of our love and our care for them. Grant, we pray thee that now as we go to prayer and names and things that are a part of daily living, that we will again find that special comfort in our hearts of knowing that we have come to thee, Lord. We come to thee because we know as our Heavenly Father you've invited us to come to thee. Come to thee and cast all of our burdens upon thee because you love us. Just bless us as we have our time to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask this. Amen.